Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest edition of the Monday Morning Quarterback Podcast. I am Matt Verda. I'm joined, as always, by Roberto Manzano. Gil, what's going on out in California?
Not too much. I guess out here, you know, everybody's getting ready for the five teams in Southern California for training camp. You know, you got the Cowboys, Chargers, and the Rams, obviously, and the Raiders and the Saints are newcomers, so... It's weird, Matt, because I guess there's like these old school rules. Remember those, those newspaper rules about territorial rights and things like that?
Yeah.
You know, here is like they don't allow the Raiders and the Saints to have fans because I guess the Rams and the Chargers have dibs. So people are fighting about, you know, which training camp can they attend?
And that's fine. The Saints used to do training camp out in West Virginia.
Yeah.
So now they're going the other direction. The Cowboys have been out there forever. You know, they have their own little event. And then the Raiders, correct me if I'm wrong, they were doing it in Vegas, Nevada,
yeah,
correct?
They did it for 1 year, but I guess it was obviously really hot out there, so they were back and forth with the indoor and the outdoor.
Okay, so you've got that going. By the way, you're wearing a Dodgers hat. I saw the video last night from Dodger Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Some guy's car on fire, and the organist just giving it to him.
Yeah.
I loved it. I feel like that's something you'd see like back where I grew up in New York, just, you know, making fun of some guy for his car being on fire.
Yeah, it's like something out of GTA, right? Like the video game where, you know, something's going on with the cars and just keep playing and have a ball game.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's his problem. I saw that. I saw it on our website. I started laughing. I said, it's pretty good. Wanted to ask you about a piece that I believe went up today. It's hard to keep track at this point, but you wrote about the 10 best available free agents.
Yeah. And that was hard, by the way. That was really hard to get together.
you did a good job. I wanted to touch on it. Like, for people who haven't had a chance to read it, you should go to SI.com and check it out. But we'll touch on a little bit here. Who is your number one? Who is your guy that you had at the top of the list?
Yeah, maybe you could disagree or not, but the easy thing about this story, because obviously it's hard to get 10 free agents this time of year, but the easy one, number one, was Justin Simmons. He made the second team All-Pro last year, safety for the Broncos. He's been All-Pro, second team All-Pro the last 3 years. Obviously, he's not the same guy, but I feel like he's still in that back end of the prime where he could get maybe a year or two out of him. The problem with him, Matt, as you know, is that safeties don't get paid anymore, and maybe he's still thinking he is an all-pro player, but he's trying to hold that for a better contract, better opportunity, and maybe this time of year, some of the better free agents just wait for better opportunities that come in training camp, but he was an easy number one for me. I don't know if you agree with that one.
I do. I do agree with you. I think he is. I thought the list was well done. I mean, my top two were your top two, because you had Stephon Gilmore second.
Yeah.
And Well, Gilmore's in his mid-30s at this point. Obviously played in Dallas last year. If I can do this off the top of my head, I believe he's played on four teams in four seasons. He's had the Pats, the Panthers, the Cowboys, the Colts.
Yeah.
He's been well-traveled, but he's been good in those spots. Like, he had a little bit of an injury issue. I believe it was in Carolina, if I remember right. But last year, played in Dallas, played well. Really was their number one corner last year because Diggs got hurt early. I thought he played well. I think the reason teams are so, you know, gun-shy with him is just his age. He's a guy really – I mean, he's a former defensive player of the year. So, I mean, this is a guy who has had a hell of a career. But I actually want to talk about the guy who was after those two, which is Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
It was funny when I was reading the piece. I'm like, yeah, it's right. He is still a free agent. Like, I forgot that he's still out there. I know Ryan Tannehill's not the sexiest name in the world. He's better than a lot of guys who are currently starting quarterbacks. Like, I feel like if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm just waiting into camp. And if somebody gets hurt, I got great leverage. Because he can play. Like, he's not great, but, like, could he be in a playoff game this year? Sure, he could be. So I think he's a fascinating guy.
Yeah, he could maybe be like this year's, you know, Joe Flacco, help somebody out, a team in need, and get a better contract. Like, again, like we don't know too much behind the scenes. Maybe a player is trying to hold out for a better contract, waiting for an injury right to occur in training camp. But you would think Ryan Tannehill would be on a roster right now, because even, you know, going beyond the starters, because again, there's not 32 very good starters in the NFL. And then also, we know about the injuries that occurred a year ago. There were so many injuries to starting quarterbacks. Why not splurge on a high-end number two to just protect yourself? But it hasn't happened for Ryan Tannehill. And I'll say this, Matt. He wasn't good playing for the Titans last year. That's why Will Levis came in. Maybe that's coming as a scare there. You know, watching the tape. Remember with the Joe Flacco story, like, you know, what the heck happened with Joe Flacco? Why did nobody sign that guy? Was it, well, we saw the tape with the Jets. We saw the tape with the Broncos. Nobody saw that coming. Maybe it could be some of that for Ryan Tannehill. But I'm with you. Like, I'm sure we get to the bottom of the list. You're the one in charge of the quarterback rankings. He could definitely make a run for a starting job. But that's a good one, especially after all the injuries that we saw. You would think somebody will go out and spend money just to have that protection with Ryan Tannehill there.
Yeah, and look, like, he sucked last year. Let's call it what it was. I mean, he played in 10 games. He threw 4 touchdown passes and 7 picks. He was awful. The year prior to that, though, 12 games, 2,500 yards, 13 touchdowns, 6 picks. And then, you know, in 2021, 21 touchdowns, 14 picks. Year before, that was the best year of his career, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks. But now you're kind of getting into ancient history. Point being, though, like, yes, last year he was terrible. But if he even reverts back to the 2022 version of himself, I mean, I'd take that over Daniel Jones. You know, like, you could take it over what Pittsburgh's got. Now, yeah. Pittsburgh's got two guys, so I'm not saying they're going to all of a sudden make a move. Although Arthur Smith is their OC, and guess who Arthur Smith was the OC for in Tennessee? I think that ship probably sailed. But there's a lot of guys who look around the league and are like, is Tannehill maybe better than that guy? Like, look, I think Derek Carr is better than Ryan Tannehill. Is he demonstrably better? Like, I don't know. You know, now, again, I mean, Carr's entrenched, but my point is, guys like that could have a good year, could have a terrible year. Look at Baker Mayfield last year.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield was on the outs. He was on the outs. Went to the Panthers. He was bad. He got cut. The Rams pick him up. Was, you know, fine. Nothing special. Goes to the Bucs, and you're thinking like, okay, the Bucs are basically going for a reset here. They're going to have a top 5 pick. And Mayfield ends up earning a 3-year contract. And plays great, and they win the division, they win a playoff game, all the rest. Like, I feel like that middle tier of quarterbacks, that, you know, that 15 through 23 area, those guys are just volatile. You don't know what you're going to get year in and year out.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Gardner Minshew effect. Like, you know, you're going to get some good games, and then some very, you know, I shouldn't say two, he's not the worst, but like, there's some shaky games. How about that?
You're gonna get some terrible bad games.
Yeah, there'll be some bad games there where, you know, we'll take a shot down the field and there'll be a couple of turnovers. But, you know, that's why. But those guys like the Minshews are valuable because they give you a fighting chance, right? They push the ball down the field.
Yep.
I don't know how much of Tannehill has that and left in him. Like, it's tough to gauge the Tannehill line right now because, like, is he more Jacoby Brissett? Brissett's more of a safe quarterback, you know, but he gets it done, right? He's a good, you know, game manager, keeps it efficient. That's why, you know, it's going to be, you know, a good battle there for him and Drake May in New England. But He's going to have to figure out that role. Like, who do you want to be as a backup? A guy who kind of keeps the boat steady and keep it afloat? Or like, you know what, I'm going to go down swinging, and I'm going to make sure that maybe I could get a job and keep this opportunity like a Joe Flacco.
It'll be interesting. But I think Tannehill was a guy, when I saw your list, I'm like, I completely forgot he's even out there. And I said, okay, yeah, he's interesting. Like, if some guy gets hurt in camp, you could do worse. You could do better, but you could do worse than Ryan Tannehill. All right. OTAs going on around the league right now. A lot of teams through phase one, heading to phase two, which, if you're looking for the difference, it's really just kind of a ramp up. I mean, it's pretty much shorts and t-shirts and helmets, right? I mean, on through. It's not anything crazy. They're all voluntary. But there were some players who were notable who were not at OTAs. A lot of receivers. Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. We know that Higgins has demanded a trade, yet he remains in Cincinnati. The other three guys have not demanded any kind of trade. There's been a little drama around Ayuk, but no demands. Do you think there is any chance that any of those guys play somewhere other than their current teams in 2024?
I think the T. Higgins one. I feel like with Brandon Ayuk, I feel like the 49ers have done enough damage control. Like, hey, you know, here's the business situation of it. We gotta shop you around, but we like you, we love you. We're not gonna let you go for I guess a low price, and that's what occurred, right? They didn't trade him. So Deebo Samuel showed up to OTAs. He was shopped around. That kind of tells you maybe the 49ers were good about it. But the T. Higgins situation with the Bengals, it kind of seems like it's a little messy there. You know, you also got to pay Jamar Chase. You just paid Joe Burrow. You know, Trey Hendrickson wanted to trade not too long ago. He came back and he's part of it. He kind of took that back. But I don't know. To me, something with T. Higgins, it feels like that he might get traded. But if you're the Bengals, and maybe it's kind of like the 49ers approach, like, you've gotten close before. Why not have one more run at it? I get you don't want to lose a guy for nothing. But with you're a better team with T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and you've kind of had some, you know, different pieces, because you're thinking ahead for the contract for Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow kicking in eventually. So to me, it feels like it'd be T. Higgins. It just doesn't seem, just from the reports and seeing the B reporters talk about it, like, there's something there behind the scenes where it's not adding up to, right? But yeah. You know, I don't, maybe you have a better memory, Matt, but I guess there are a couple of times, right, where you get to that deadline for the franchise tag where somebody gets traded before. So maybe it could be a scenario like that, but I don't know if it happens too often, like in July, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. Look, for me, I think about Carson Palmer. And I remember when he wanted out of Cincinnati in the absolute worst way. Like, was willing to retire and walk away from the sport. And that's eventually what he did. Because the Bengals would not trade him. They refused to give in. They refused to deal him. He had been there for 8 years. Things were kind of stale, going downhill, however you want to put it. And so after briefly being retired, he was traded finally about halfway through the following year to the Raiders. And then, of course, ended up finding his way to Arizona, and he had a nice couple of years there before he actually retired. I just don't think Mike Brown's going to trade him. Like, and I know, you know, he's not as involved as he once was, and Duke Tobin runs a show there, and there are some other people involved. The Bengals just, they don't operate like most teams. Like, Jesse Bates, they just wouldn't offer the guy a real contract. Like, they put him on the tag and basically were like, sit there. And then played it out, and then he left. You look at those situations, and it lends me to believe Higgins is going to be gone after this year, for sure. But I think they're just going to say, you're going to play this year out. And we don't really care how you feel about it. I think Ayuk is the one who'd be most likely to be traded, but I don't think any of them are going to be gone. I think they're all going to be where they currently are. Look, Justin Jefferson's not going anywhere, barring some very bizarre thing happening. Same thing with CeeDee Lamb. I think of the four guys, look, the Niners could trade Ayuk and still win the Super Bowl. Like, the Niners could trade him and get a bunch of picks, and you know, they've still got McCaffrey and Kittle and Deebo and, you know, all these guys on offense, even like a Juwan Jennings, where you look at him and go, that team could still win. It would certainly hurt. I feel like if Higgins is gone, you've also lost Boyd. You've also lost Mixon. I know you signed Zach Moss. I get it. But, like, now it's like double chase and beat me anywhere else. The Niners would still have other ways to beat you. So, look, I don't think any of them are gone. But I think if one was to go, I think it would be Ayuk. A, because I think that team could afford to lose him more than the other teams could. And B, I also think, and this is important, he would command more than Higgins. Like, I feel like the Bengals won't be overwhelmed by an offer for T. Higgins. Like, it will probably be like, hey, we'll give you a day two pick. And I don't think that's enough. Brandon Ayuk's better than T. Higgins. So I think the Niners could sit there and be like, you're going to give us a first. And I think some team might. Like, if, I think there's a world where that happens. I don't think it's likely. I think it's more likely than Higgins commanding a premium.
I just wonder how much are they asking for. I'm sure it's a first-round pick, but what else do they want? Like, they had opportunities to trade them and during the draft. I thought it was going to happen the way they reported and all the insiders, you know, either Debo or Ayuk, and they just didn't do it. So, I don't know. Part of me feels like I think they understand that, you know, Ayuk is I guess if you go comparing the wide receivers, Debo and Ayuk, I think Ayuk is better in a traditional sense as a wide receiver, but it's tough to let go of Debo because he's also that kind of versatile machine that gives you more to play with in that playbook there. So
right.
I think they had a high asking price and they didn't do it for a reason. So that makes me feel like he's going to maybe stick around. But then again, you created some flexibility, right, with the draft pick, Ricky Pearsall out of Florida, the first round pick there. So if you see a good offer that maybe comes close to what you wanted in April and you're seeing that your first round pick is doing well in OTAs, maybe you do it. So maybe you're not off there, Matt.
Look, again, I think the smart bet is that nothing happens.
Yeah.
But I think there's a world where a team calls the Niners and just says, look, you know what? We've got some cap space and we need to upgrade at receiver. You know, I mean, they can't do it, I don't believe, because their cap space is a mess, or the cap sheet is a mess. But like a team like Buffalo, who just goes, hey, look, you know what? We're a contending team. We need a receiver. We're going to go get him. Now, again, because of their cap sheet, I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, they would be an example of a team like that that you'd look at and go, okay, you know, maybe. I'll give you another one. The Green Bay Packers. Like, they've got a lot of young guys. I mean, they've got Christian Watson. They've got Jaden Reed. They've got Dontayvion Wicks. They've got all these young tight ends. But they don't have anybody who you're like, that guy's the guy. Like, he is clearly the guy. I think they want Watson to be that guy, but he wasn't able to stay healthy all last year with the hamstring. I know it's already a concern. Like, there's a team. Now, I don't know if the Niners are trading to the Packers, but, like, there's a team that you look at and go, okay, yeah. Like, that actually, like, sure, I could see that. Or if I'm a team with one of these rookie quarterbacks, I'm trying to prop them up. A guy like Drake May, right? If I'm New England. And I'm like, you know what? We won't give you a first because, frankly, we're bad and we don't want to give you a top 10 pick. But we'll give you our second and we'll give you the following second. So, you know, 25 and 26, 2 seconds. And we'll give it to you for IU. Like, that to me would be a trade that would make sense. And if you're the Niners, you're like, hey, if we're not going to re-sign this guy, that's not terrible value. We would in that world, you're basically getting the value of a first round pick with the two twos. You expect them to be high. I think it's, you know, a team even like the Giants, who have no receivers outside of Neighbors. Like, maybe you're like, look, let's bring in this guy. Neighbors is on a rookie deal for 5 years. We can make it work here. And by the way, you, I believe, spoke to this guy at the rookie premiere. The Niners have Ricky Pearsall. Mm-hmm. So there's another guy, first round pick. You know, like the Niners are set up. If IU got traded, they'd be fine. They would still be fine. And you can add a whole bunch of capital and you can add some cost certainty. Like, I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to explore aggressively what's out there.
Yeah, I like the Giants mentioned there because they do have money. And if you want to give it a shot with Daniel Jones one more year, we'll give him more weapons because after Neighbors, that's a very terrible skill position.
Oh, they're brutal.
It's pretty bad. Or maybe the Commanders with Jaden Daniels, and you need a number two behind us, Terry McLaurin, and you know the GM, Adam Peters, so maybe John Lynch.
Right. Good call on that. Yep. Yep. I mean, Peters is from San Francisco, for people who don't know. You're right. I mean, that's a great call. You know, Jahan Dotson to this point, it's like kind of a guy. He's okay. Maybe he's better suited to be a third, you know, receiver in an offense. Maybe that slots him down a little bit. So, look, I'm with you. I just think if you're the 49ers, it makes more sense. Like, if you're the Bengals, in a vacuum, you'd look at it, and I hear what you're saying. You'd be like, yeah, T. Higgins. But I just think it screws. Like, if they trade him, any defense is going to be like double Jamar Chase and beat us anywhere else. You know? Like, that's where it becomes really difficult. And I just don't think the Bengals just typically don't give in to any demands. They don't trade guys who want to be traded. They don't pay guys who want to get paid. Like, they just, they don't care. And like you mentioned as well, they're looking at Trey Hendrickson, who demanded a trade. You know, like, and they were like, that's nice. See you at camp. Just, they don't care.
He's like, oh, wait, I play for the Bengals. I should probably come in and play.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, I'm never going to get traded, so I might as well just show up and try to be an all-pro again and hope for the best. But, like, if you look just real quickly at the Bengals, so, like, to your point, yeah, they got to pay Ja'Marr Chase, who's got this year and then the fifth-year option. So they got time, but, you know, he's eligible for an extension. Yeah, they've got a bunch of questions. Like, Ted Karras is a free agent this year at center. You know, Trent Brown, they brought in to play right tackle. It's just a 1-year deal. They've got a lot of guys on the offensive line they got to figure out. B.J. Hill, 1 year left. Trey Hendrickson signed for this year and next, which is why the Bengals are like, yeah, that's nice. You want to get traded. We're not going to trade you. But, you know, they've got a lot of guys here. They really do. You know, who you look at, you know, like Mike Hilton's up after this year. Von Bell, who they just brought back after losing to Carolina. He's now back. He's on a 1-year deal just for, you know, $1.2 million. Like, there are just a lot of question marks with the Bengals. And I think at this point, they're just going to sit there and say, yeah, you know what? We're not going to deal you. We're not going to do it.
Yeah, they lost a lot of key veterans. And then, like, the whole, you know, the Joe Burrow injury with the hand thing kind of concerning.
It's not great.
So, and then you got to play in the AFC North too. Like we all kind of just assume because Joe Burrow's there, they're going to win 10 games. But, like, you know, they don't, I don't know, like, if you lose T. Higgins, I think you're right there. Like, they don't seem like a team that could make a contender for a Super Bowl. Maybe they could sneak in as a wild card, but that's a brutal division, brutal schedule, and you lost a lot of key players. Maybe it's a good idea to keep on T. Higgins and then see what happens in free agency.
The only thing benefiting them is the fact that they finished in last place last year, so they have a last place schedule. That's the only, because you're right, like, the division might be the toughest division in football. They have a lot facing them in both in the immediate and the next couple of years. You got to figure it out. And then the first thing you got to think about is Burrow's health. You know, you hear about that wrist injury. It's not a typical wrist injury. There's a lot that goes, it's elbow injury. There's a lot that goes into it. Like, it's a real thing. So we'll see how it shakes. Justin Jefferson, if and when he gets paid, I think we all think he's going to get paid here at some juncture. Do you think he's going to get $35 million a year?
I think so, but Albert Breer got me thinking about maybe him getting $100 million guaranteed, and that's quarterback money right there.
That
so,
is quarterback money.
I could definitely see him getting that. I would not be surprised if he goes over it, because what is it right now currently, like 33, the highest one, maybe A.J. Brown?
Pull up right now. I'll tell you in a second here.
Yeah, so.
Like, it's in the 30s.
Yeah, and then that would be kind of like the Nick Bosa for edge rusher range, and I think edge rushers and wide receivers are kind of the same kind of category in terms of importance on a roster. Obviously, you got the quarterbacks way above everybody, but I would not be surprised for that. And I think it's more about the guaranteed money and how much he gets for that. But it's going to be a massive contract. Maybe I don't know maybe like, does it touch $200 million? I'm trying to think, because that's quarterback money right there. But
I don't think it goes that high.
Yeah,
but like, so AJ Brown signed again this year. He's got the highest AAV, the highest annual average salary, $32 million.
Okay.
After him, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown at like just over 30. Tyreek Hill's even at 30. And then after that, it's 28 for Devontae and 26.7 for Cooper Kupp, 25 for Devonta Smith. Nobody else is above 25. So you got six guys at 25 or higher. The highest guaranteed money is A.J. Brown as well, $84 million guaranteed, that practical guarantee. Amon-Ra 77, Kupp at 75. Tyreek Hill 72.2. Nobody else is above 66. I mean, just looking at those numbers, right? And the highest overall values of Devontae at 140. Okay, so that gives you the kind of the highs at all those spots. If I'm Justin Jefferson, I'm like, cool. I'm beating all of them. Every one of them. So what are we going to do about this? Like, if I go into the Vikings front office, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. So if you went in the U.S. for 5 years at $35 million a shot, that's what? That's a 175. I want five, 175, and 100. That's what I want. Now,
sounds right.
You know, maybe the Vikings say, hey, look, man, we'll go to five and 165 because that puts you at 33. You're still the highest paid. and, you know, for guaranteed money, we'll make you the highest paid guy, but we're not going to go to 100. We'll go to 90 because you still beat out AJ Brown by 6 million. So like maybe that's the compromise. Maybe it's 5 and 165 and 90. But I'll tell you, if I'm Justin Jefferson, like 100 sounds better than 90. You know, I'd like 100. And I know there are fans who are like, oh, you know, that's greedy. That's good. Look, man, like maybe, but it's also reality. Like, and I don't blame anybody in this league who wants to get as much as they can possibly get, you know, when they can. I mean, Justin Jefferson was hurt a lot of last year, you know, which that's the only thing that makes me wonder if the Vikings may have just enough leverage to keep that under $100 million. But then there's also the other side of it. Like, what if he goes out and has 2,000 yards, you know? Like, now he's got J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold throwing the rock, so I'm going to go ahead and guess he doesn't get 2,000 yards. But if I'm Minnesota, if I can get him at 5, 165, and 90, it's done. It's happening. I'm not even blinking. I'm just signing him.
I wonder if they kind of like get a little creative, like, hey, we'll help you buy the Timberwolves, or we'll help you buy the Twins, and you get all these cars and houses. Like, sometimes they kind of have some of these back-end contracts, a little creative there. But maybe you ask for the Kirk Cousins deal. Like, what do you got, four years, $180 million from the Falcons? Go say you made that guy special the last couple of years and get that contract. But it's going to be something ridiculous, and I think it's going to top $100 million guaranteed. But I don't think you're too far off. I do like those numbers you gave out.
Yeah, I think that's about, you know, where it ends up. You know, somewhere in that range. We'll see. And by the way, I think CeeDee Lamb's probably in that same ballpark. You know, I mean, is he as good as Jefferson? Maybe he's a touch lower, but he's not much lower. Like, he's a great player. So the one thing that helps CeeDee Lamb is Jerry. Jerry loves to pay his stars. And Jerry loves everybody to know how much he paid his stars. So if you're CeeDee Lamb, like, at some point, you're probably going to get paid. Probably going to get paid a lot of money. You feel good about that? All right. Let's move on from the receivers. Is there anything that caught your eye this week in general at OTAs, whether it's something you saw, something you heard, something you're hearing, anything that stood out to you from the week that was here with the first round of OTAs?
I guess I'm a little fascinated to see what plays out in Miami with Tua Tagovailoa. He hasn't been in OTAs, but I guess Mike McDaniel said he's been hanging around the facility, so does that count as being part of the team? Is that a good sign for him to get paid? And it's just an interesting dynamic because, like, you know, you also we saw what Jared Goff got, right? Like, is Tua about, like, Jared Goff? But, Jared Goff hasn't had the injuries that Tua has had, and Jared Goff has had the postseason success. He went to a Super Bowl with the Rams, and he took the Lions to the NFC title game. Tua hasn't had that, he's fit well with the scheme of Mike McDaniel, but those injury years, not producing in crunch time, those playoff duds, like, I'm just curious to see where he ranks, because also with Lawrence, he hasn't had maybe the playoff success, but you know he has a high ceiling, so you're comfortable paying Trevor Lawrence that top money. But with Tua, I don't know about the ceiling. The injury is scaring me. The crunch time play scares me. Like, where do you kind of fit? Because obviously you could go off of the contracts of Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, the 2020 draft classmates, and I think they top maybe, like, you know, $50 million per year, 51, 52, something like that. And I just don't know if I view Tua that way, and maybe the Dolphins are kind of saying the same thing. Do you let them play out another year and say, go prove it, and do the maybe come with the franchise tags, give them the Kirk Cousins route a little bit? That one is just intriguing to me.
So if I'm the Dolphins, and I know you could argue this a million different ways, I get it. I'm not paying him. Like, I'm not paying him. I just think, I think it's a mistake. Look, I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I don't. I'm not, like, in the camp that I think he stinks or anything like that. Like, I don't think he stinks. I think he's clearly proven he does not stink. I think he is a capable quarterback. I am not paying a capable quarterback $55 million a year. I'm not. I'd rather just go draft another guy and figure it out, or have a bridge for a year and figure it out. Like, you sign that contract, he's your guy for 4 or 5 years, right? Like, He's going to be your guy. And I understand if you look at his numbers last year, you're like, man, he was awesome. He led the league in passing yards, over 4,600, 29 touchdowns, completed 69% of his passes. Pro Bowl. All that's great. Anybody who watched them play against good teams last year knows what they saw. And I'm not just putting it on him, by the way. I thought McDaniel at times would abandon the run game too early. They had Achane, they Mostert, all these guys, and it felt like they'd get away from it. It got weird. I know at the end of the year they were dealing with a lot of injuries. I understand that too. But I know how I felt when I watched those games. I watched that playoff game in Kansas City, and I can honestly say, I watched a half of the first quarter and texted somebody, and I said, this game's over. But they have no shot. They're not winning this game. They look horrified. You know, the Bills game at the end of the year for the division, it wasn't 20 below zero. It was in Miami. And he was bad in that game. He was bad in that game. Like the Baltimore game the week prior, you know, it was 40-something degrees. It wasn't that cold. They got annihilated. Now, granted, he wasn't on defense giving up 56 points. But, like, he wasn't scoring a lot of points either. That's the concern. Like, I just feel like, what does that look like when Tyreek Hill's not there in a few years? Then what does that look like? You know, I mean, and look, you are what you are. He's in a great situation. But, like, he's not always going to have Tyreek Hill. And you're not always going to have the fastest offense in the NFL. Like, I just, between the injury concerns in his past and the current concerns, can he play in bad weather? Can he beat good teams? Can he stay on the field? Like, all that stuff. I would play out his contract, and I'd tag him. And then I would make a decision on what I want to do. And maybe, look, maybe after that, he looked, you know, you're like, okay, he's proven to me he can win a couple playoff games, and he stayed healthy. But great. Go with God, man. Pay him. But until that happens, it's the same reason I'm not killing Dallas for not paying Dak Prescott. Like, how many years of Dak Prescott do we have to see? They've been, I believe there's his ninth year right now he's going into. Dak Prescott's never been to an NFC title game, and he has been on some loaded teams. It's not like Dak's been stuck on these teams. It's thing. And I think Dak's a borderline top 10 guy. I think he's right on that cusp. Sometimes there, sometimes not. But, like, I'm not paying him $60 million a year. For what? To go to the divisional round? Like, I'm not paying him that. You know, like, if I'm Dallas, the whole point of this thing is to go to a Super Bowl. I've watched him for 8 years on really good teams not get there. The last time I saw Dak Prescott, he was getting absolutely plowed by Green Bay in a playoff game in his own building. And he was part of the problem that afternoon. Like, he, I believe, threw a pick six, if memory serves me right. He had another pick in, I know, yeah. He threw two picks in the game. He was terrible. He was terrible. Like, I don't believe in paying guys that when you look at him deep down, you're like, that guy can't win me a Super Bowl. It's like Cousins. I don't blame Minnesota for not paying him. What are you going to win with him? 9 games, 10 games, who cares? You're going to lose to a team that has a quarterback. You know, so that's how I see it anyway.
Yeah, you know, I guess when you're going to commit to so much money to a quarterback, there's like two factors, at least for me, that I kind of see, like, just the eye test where you're like, that guy has elite traits like a Josh Allen or Justin Herbert. Or a guy who's won in the playoffs, like a Matthew Stafford, and now Jared Goff. He got paid because of what he did in the playoffs. So Tua doesn't really pass the eye test. It's like, wow, you got to keep that guy for the upside. Right. Or the, hey, you've been good to us in the playoffs. You've been coming through in crunch time. We trust you to run the show. We're going to give you the money. You might not be the best of the best when it comes to arm talent, but we've seen what you do when it gets tough. And part of it, like you mentioned, could be Mike McDaniel, and he's not making life easier for Tua. But you're not going to pay a guy that much money who needs a coach to tell him, hey, with the training wheels on, you got to do this, you got to do that. The best quarterbacks make it happen at the end. And kind of sometimes you got to brush aside the coach and say, I'm going to change this and that, the line of scrimmage. I'm going to go save this game here, and I'm going to carry you guys on my back. And we haven't seen that from Tua. He's a scheme guy. He fits very well. Like you mentioned, Tyreek Hill is not young anymore. What happens when he's gone?
Right.
And like, we've seen it with Mahomes, right? Like when Tyreek left, he was still that guy. The quarterbacks that get paid are the ones that elevate the team, the surroundings around them. Like, yes, you might have your star players, but sometimes that star player won't be around on Sunday. You got to elevate people's games, and we just haven't seen that with Tua. So when you think about all that, it's like it does make you think And think about the injuries too. The first couple of years, he's not a big guy too. So a lot of things have to go perfectly. So I'm with you. I got to see one more year. You got to prove it to me. We got the franchise tag. Like, you know, he's going to come through. He's going to come in eventually because he needs that money and he's still on his rookie deal. Obviously, maybe he doesn't need that money because he's making good money. But it's these big fines. You don't want to sit out a whole year. Put the pressure on him.
I always try to do this as an exercise, and maybe it's because I do those QB rankings we talked about earlier, but I always think of it in these terms. If you're looking at Tua, where does he rank in the AFC? Just in the AFC among starting quarterbacks. Like, not in terms of like where he's going to be in 5 years, yeah, but like a guy that you like to have for this season, where does he rank for you in just the AFC? Like, to walk through this, I think we would both agree he's not Mahomes. He's not Herbert. Right, so you got two guys in the West. He's not C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Okay, now I think at this point you can't say Richardson because you just don't know. Levis, obviously an unknown. And then Trevor Lawrence. Like, would you trade Trevor Lawrence over Tua?
I would not because of the upside that I'm still waiting for Trevor Lawrence.
So you would take Tua over Trevor?
No, I will take Trevor.
You would take Trevor. Tua. Okay, So would I. So you got four guys. Lamar Jackson just won his second MVP.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking Lamar, all right?
Yeah, for sure.
You're taking Burrow over Tua. Yeah. So now you have to six. Josh Allen, I'm sure, both taking.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aaron Rodgers, you taking him?
Not at this stage of his career.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. Like, you could argue Rodgers with the age and the injury and everything else.
Yeah.
So that, if Tua is ahead of Rodgers, he's eighth in his own conference. You're going to pay a guy $55 million bucks?
Middle of the pack, yeah, of the conference.
Yeah, like... That's the thing. Like, we get these weird discourses on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called, where you get these people who are like, you don't understand the greatness that is so-and-so. And it's like, well, actually, look, let's actually do the math here and rank this guy out. He's a guy in his own conference. He's not eighth in the league. He's eighth in his conference. And if Rodgers comes back and he's healthy, he might be ninth. Like, what are we talking about? And that doesn't even factor in Anthony Richardson, who we don't know about yet. Drake May, who obviously hasn't taken a snap yet. Right, like, now look, maybe Tua is much better than those guys. Like, we just don't know. Bo Nix, another rookie first round pick. We'll see how he pans out. But my point is, like, there's no argument for Tua being better than the eighth quarterback in the AFC. None. Like, he's clearly not better than those other seven guys. So to me, and by the way, like, there's even a little bit of that with Trevor Lawrence. Like, I think Trevor Lawrence is worth paying. But there is a little bit of like, hey, man, like, you're going to have to beat Allen, Burrow, Mahomes. Okay. Now, Herbert, to be fair, he did beat in a playoff game, one of the all-time choke jobs you'll ever see.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Stroud's one of those guys. You watch him for 1 year and you're like, that guy can play. I don't need to see that kid throw one more pass to know that like that guy's big time. Jordan Love last year. You watch Jordan Love and you're like, yep, dude can play. Now, obviously, he's a little bit different than Stroud. He was sitting on the bench for a handful of years. But, like, you watched him, and you're like, yeah, no doubt about it. Like, that guy, you know, it's kind of the same thing with when, you know, Mahomes became a starter. Mahomes, the second he was a starter, like, that guy. Now, like, he's a little bit different than everybody else. I get it. But, you know, like, there are the rare guys who it takes a little bit. Josh Allen was one of those guys. Took him a couple of years. Most guys you kind of watch, like Herbert immediately was like, that guy's really good. You know, I'm very nervous about the fact that we're going into year five with Tua and you're like, I think he's good. You know, Trevor Lawrence, you're like, he's good. Is he great? I don't know, but he's good. Now, I would pay him before I'd pay Tua, but you know, we are kind of still sitting here for Trevor Lawrence to have like his coming out party. I mean, the year they went to the playoffs, they were 9-8. It wasn't like they were 13-4. So, you know, we'll see. But I have more confidence in him.
Well, let me ask you this, because somebody asked me, like, who should get paid the most between Jordan Love, Trevor, and Tua, and Dak. And I went with Jordan Love, even though he's only had 1 year starting, because of what you mentioned. Yeah, like the eye test. Like, that guy is really good, and he has a bright future. Yep. And I don't think Trevor Lawrence has had a season like the one Jordan Love just came off of. So I would definitely pay him first.
I'd pay him first, too, because you know what? I watched him do it. I watched him go to Dallas and win that playoff game. And then I watched him go to San Francisco and play his ass off. And you watch that game, and you're like, that dude, like, he can play. He's a really good player. I don't have any questions. And the funny thing is, I remember, you know, I actually interviewed him for a story we wrote last year. I went up to Green Bay for OTAs, which I hope to do again here in a few weeks. And I remember, you know, sitting there talking. Of course, this is like the very, very beginning. It was, I believe it was phase one of OTAs when I was up there. And I'm charting his passes. And he was 6 of 16 with 3 drop picks. And I'm watching him. I'm like, man, this is brutal, right? Go back up there for camp. It was like watching a completely different human being. He's slinging the ball all over the place. He's played great. And I was talking to a couple of the beat guys up there. I'm like, what the hell? Like, what? He was terrible in May. Yeah, no, you know, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. And there were a handful of people who really genuinely were like, he can't play. Like, privately, not in the Packers organization, like people watching him on a day in, day out basis. Like, yeah, he's just not that good. And you could see why people thought that. And then you watch the first half of the year, and he wasn't great. Like, he was okay. He'd have moments. Second half of the year, he was lights out. Played absolutely great football. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, if I had to rank those four guys, I'd pay Love, then I'd pay Lawrence, then I'd pay Dak, then I'd pay Tua.
Yeah, I'm with you. We agree there. And with the whole Jordan Love thing, like, I remember last year I got some flack for picking them to go to the playoffs. This year's the opposite. I'm picking them not to go to the playoffs. But because I just wanted to see that skill set. That's you bet on a guy like, you know, I'm not trying to make it about Michael Penix Jr., but like with Michael Penix Jr., like, you don't think about like the elite traits or the skill set. And with Jordan Love, it was like, you wait on that guy to develop. He's a little raw right now, but you see the arm strength. You see everything. You can't teach that. So they waited for that. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I think it's going to come through. It was a rocky start. I remember you telling me about that OTA visit.
Yeah.
And then the thing he has to fix, Matt, is like the one thing that concerns me, if I'm going to be nitpicking here, is the killer turnovers at the end. Sometimes he trusts that arm a little too much. And if he figures that out, which he did in that second half of the season, the bad thing is you kind of have that bad taste in your mouth from the 49ers game because he ended that game with an interception. So if he cuts that down, maybe Josh Jacobs helps out with the running game. But other than that, I've seen enough where you could pay that guy for sure.
Yeah. No, there's no question. There's no question. And I know I was just talking to our editor the other day. I want to try to get back up to Green Bay here. In fact, after we do this, maybe I'll shoot an email up to the PR staff. But I'd like to go up to Green Bay. I'd like to go down to Chicago to watch Caleb Williams here and check him out of practice. Look, it's going to be very interesting in the NFC North. You have 3 very young quarterbacks now. And Goff was a guy who was a throw-in when they acquired him. It was like, all right, well, it's a salary dump. Well, not so much. He's played great. He earned the money he got. Good for him. All right, look, I'm going to get out of here. But what do you have going on, man? What's coming up? What's on your plate?
Yeah, actually, it's I'll kind of give you maybe the rewind. But this weekend, not too much. I am going to actually move not too long from now, like on June 1st. So we're getting ready for moving. And wow, that's not going to be a cakewalk. That's going to be brutal. And I kind of hate things like that.
Can I add? I don't mean the why move? What was the reason?
Yeah. So, you know, I guess it kind of goes into last week. So we live out here in Northridge, like maybe like 30 minutes out of the LA area. And because my girlfriend, Caroline, she was in a master's program for 2 years. And I told her, like, I guess we both decided, like, the second you graduate, we're out of here. We don't really like to live out here. No offense to the San Fernando Valley. I went to Cal State Northridge, so that's the school that she's going to, or she went to. She graduated last week. That was nice. Cool. She achieved her, got her degree, master's degree, 2 years. But now, with the lease being up in June 1st, we're like, okay, 2-year plan is over, on to the next step. And, you know, before I moved to Northridge, I lived in the Long Beach area, like Cerritos. I like that area, and she's closer to that side, Anaheim. She's more in the Orange County, so to be close to family, it's more of kind of a better fit. You know, the nice thing about working for SI, you work a lot from home, so it doesn't really matter where I live. But yeah, still, I'm going to deal with traffic in LA regardless of where I am. But yeah, it was just time for a change, and the 2-year plan, we made it happen.
Good for you, man. Oh, congrats, Caroline. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. What did she go to school for? What was her master's in?
Technically the degree was in biology, but she works in genetics and research and coding. So it's a lot of, okay. If you ask me some more details, that's all I could give you, bro, man, because I do not understand genetics.
She's way smarter than I am. So good for her. It's like, yeah. My wife, she's a nurse practitioner, and she'll talk about stuff. I'm just no chance. Like when her and her coworkers get together at like a work party, they start talking. I'm like, yeah, I can tell you about 2nd down and 6. That's about as far as it goes. That's good. No, hey, listen, man, are you going to hire movers?
No, we're going to get her brother to come help us. He has a truck. So that's the bad thing. If you have a truck, you're going to get asked
for favors. Yeah, you're going to be a mover. Yeah.
So he's going to help us out. So no, I think we should make it happen. But yeah, maybe we should hire somebody, but we're going to just risk it. See what happens.
Good for you, man. The first couple times I moved, I did it myself, like with help of friends. And then we moved out of Chicago out to the burbs. We're like, yeah, you know what? I don't care what it costs. We're getting a mover. I'm not doing it. Left all our bedroom furniture behind. We just left it for whoever. I don't care.
Wow. They don't charge you extra for leaving it.
I don't care. That's nice. Well, I'm not touching that. Leave it. You know, because we were going from, at the time, we were going from an apartment to our first home. So we were like, the furniture was all, like at that point, we were in our mid-20s. It was all like hand-me-downs. So I'm like,
yeah,
I don't want that stuff. Like, it's breaking. I'm like, we got as much out of that as we possibly could. So I do remember when I moved to Chicago, to get up the stairs. I was on the second floor. But it was really like the third, because you had like the lobby and then the first and the second. I have this big couch. In fact, the couch that's right behind me now to this day. And we could not get it up the staircase. Like, have you ever seen that famous Friends episode?
Pivot.
Couldn't pivot. So we're trying. It's like my dad and I and my one coworker at the time. And like, can't get this thing up the damn stairs. I'm like, we're going to have to leave this thing on the curb. Like, we can't get it in the... We finally realized, like, if we stand it up straight up and then one of us does like a shoulder press with it, like, we can get it up to the very edge of the deck, and then two other people can get... We were pulling people off the street. They could shoulder press it to get it to the top of the deck level, and then we just yanked it through the kitchen. And I'll tell you, we made it by about an inch. It's a miracle nobody blew their back out or got killed trying to do it. But that couch to this day, most comfortable couch I ever slept on. I wasn't going to give it up easy.
But you gotta be worried now. Maybe I should hire more, because there's only two of us, us right now. I gotta ask people for help.
People on the street. Hey, you want pizza? Come here. That's what we were doing.
Trick there. The pizza.
Pizza. Get some every time. No, it was fine. But hey, man, listen. Good luck with that. That's one of those things. It's a pain in the ass. But like once it's done, you're happy about it. So
yeah. We'll see how it goes. I'll let you know in a couple of weeks how it goes.
Yeah, you just gotta get through the move. That's all. That's all.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, hey, everybody, listen, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. If you could leave a 5-star rating on the show, always helps out, whether you're listening to Gil and I or you're listening to Connor and Albert. We'll be back again next week. We'll be talking about phase two of OTAs. Who knows? Maybe we'll even have an update on some of these contract situations we were talking about. We'll have plenty of stuff for you to read. We have our 32 for 32 coming up soon, which is the 32 teams in 32 days, which Gil and I are tackling together, 16 teams apiece. Gil is the AFC, I have the NFC. So we're going to be talking about all things, all teams, really, breaking down kind of everything you need to know going into the year. Second time we've done it. Should be fun. Then we got to work on our NFL preview magazine, which won't come out till August, but
yeah,
we are writing in earnest as we speak. So make sure to have your subscription SI as well. This month is a double issue coming out.
Yeah.
So make sure to pick that up. If you're not subscribed, do so. But also, if you have to, get on the newsstand. All right. That's it. That's all we've got for today. For Gilberto Manzano, I am Matt Verderam. Thank you for watching and or listening. And we'll be talking to you again next week. Take care, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at MedMutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.